The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, activities, excursions, and more in one place to make your trip truly unforgettable. Viator has over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from. Everything from simple tours to extreme adventures and all the niche, interesting stuff in between. So you can plan something that everyone you're traveling with will enjoy. Real traveler reviews give the inside scoop from people who've already been on the experiences you're considering, so you can plan with confidence. Free cancellation helps you plan for the unexpected, and 24/7 customer support means you can travel worry-free. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
May 16th, 2021. Backlash, backslash, backsplash.
Backwash.
This is the Wrestling Inc. podcast covering WrestleMania Backlash 2021. There were zombies tonight. There was a zombie invasion of a WWE pay-per-view. And I feel like that's the headline. That's the big story.
If you weren't watching live and you were just checking in on social media, you were confused as F.
Right. It's kind of like they replayed the Halloween Havoc NXT match. I mean, except it was way worse. And Halloween Havoc, that I thought that sucked too. But this was another level.
I think The Miz could be a zombie and could face The Fiend Bray Wyatt at Hell in a Cell.
It just took everything away from Priest getting that win, in my opinion. Like, it was just so silly that it didn't elevate Damian Priest at all getting that win. And I get you got to do your tie-ins, you got your sponsors, but that was just, it was just another level of just so bad.
And what a slap in the face to Peacock that they're promoting this Netflix film tightly integrated in the pay-per-view.
You got to do what you got to do.
Yeah, I guess not. If they wouldn't have done it tonight. I wonder if there's any language in the deal with Peacock of like, I mean, yeah, because you're right, Glenn. Netflix is, I mean, Peacock's just is the new kid on the block, just launched. And yeah, so you're, yeah, WWE's promoting the competing.
I'm going to bet money they did not tell Peacock. I bet you something is going to come out in the next couple days.
Yeah, I mean, Peacock, they don't really do their own movies yet, right?
Like they've got some content deals, though. You know, I mean, they promote original stuff. I mean, but I guarantee you they didn't run, like, they didn't have to approve Car Shield or any of the other sponsors on these things. So I'm pretty sure WWE is more of a let's get forgiveness than permission kind of company.
That's a big deal. I mean, Peacock, you know, they're spending $200 million a year. I so I would guess that
they pulled the feed in KSA and had that whole thing. Like,
that was never proven.
What caused the whole thing?
That was Hugo Savinovich saying such.
Exactly. Yeah.
I'm just saying WWE does not seem like someone who's like, oh, we want to be really sensitive and not offend anybody who's given us.
I don't see how Vince has the power to pull the feed of a TV network in Saudi Arabia. But
I mean, literally just unplugging the TriCaster. I don't know. Production truck. Who knows?
Conspiracy theories.
It's what we need, Raj.
But outside of the dumbass zombie stuff, a good show. I thought it was a strong pay-per-view. I mean, Roman Cesaro, I mean, they did piss on Cesaro a lot after that match. He just got beat down by everybody. But that was an excellent match. I actually liked the ending. I know some people were criticizing it. And I just thought it was a good show all around outside of the zombie stuff.
This was a pretty good show. Definitely one of the better Thunderdome pay-per-views. And
I get all the criticism. I'll give you one silver. It's not the content of what we saw, but I'll give you one silver lining to something that came out of the zombie thing tonight. When we get to that match, so I'll give some piece of positivity towards it. Call me the fourth member of New Day. Positivity, my friend.
All right, there we go.
Zombies were zooming in to the Thunderdome later in the show.
The one positive with the zombies is that they did a good job with the makeup.
Sure.
That's not my positive, but yeah, we'll add that as number two.
There we go. Let's get some of these super...
Combo Breaker, $1.99. The zombies followed the rules. I'm shocked. It's true. They did not interfere in the ring of the Lumberjack match.
Very well behaved.
Well, we can have smart zombies. We can also have polite zombies.
They did eat the Miz after, which I don't think is allowed.
That's after the bell. There's nothing that says you can't.
That's true.
I mean, look, WWE referees, they enforce the rules. So the zombies couldn't do such. If it was AEW referees, it's all hands. It's all chaos.
Right.
All
That's ignored.
Justin Lopez, $4.99. I'll be blunt. That crap was whack. Stuff like that is embarrassing, and why my friends chuckle when they find out I still watch wrestling.
I don't know if you guys have this, but for whatever reason, my wife always walks in when the most embarrassing shit is going down. And she walked in tonight when the zombies were out. And then my daughters came in at the end of that match, and the last thing they saw was the Sasha and Bianca match at WrestleMania. So they had a positive view of wrestling. And then they were looking, and they're like, Dad, what's going on? And I was like... Don't worry, honeys. Let's just leave it.
That's when you remind them that daddy is sitting on top of an empire built on this, covering this silly shit. So just mind your business and move on to the next room.
Respect the garbage.
Yeah.
Kronoshaw, $2, saying another fire suit by Seth.
Yeah, he's been on another level with his suit game.
Another level? It's a white suit that looked like he had paint. Fall on top of them. It would look ridiculous.
I'm sure. I bet you that was like $1,000 suit.
Unless I'm not denying that he probably. But I mean, if this is like some kind of Picasso art or something on a suit, I don't know. This is
Picasso would have been a bit more abstract, but still. Brett Murphy, $5. I'm disappointed they didn't call the next pay per view event WrestleMania in a Cell. Hell in a Cell in June.
In June. That was originally, it was originally supposed to be Extreme Rules. I don't know why they switched it. I feel like, so in July, they're returning for at least one weekend. They're going back on the road. They're going to do SmackDown. I guess it's going to be Money in the Bank now, the July 18th pay-per-view. And then Raw, all on the road. So I don't know why you wouldn't hold off Hell in the Cell for when you have crowds back and just do a nothing pay-per-view like Extreme Rules next month. But
that cage is kind of hard to see through. Live audience,
but it's always a big, it's always a draw. I've never been a fan of having a pay-per-view called Hell in a Cell. I always liked having a Hell in a Cell match at a pay-per-view. It makes it seem like this feud is so out of hand that you have to have a Hell in a Cell match, whereas when you have a pay-per-view called Hell in a Cell, it just feels like you have to have these Hell in a Cell matches because that's the name of the show. But anyway,
yeah, so we have some news stories, Rush, before we dive in.
Yeah, this one got a lot of attention. Wade Keller, Jason Powell, they were on the Pro Wrestling Torch podcast, and they were talking earlier this week about infighting between the EVPs. Reading between the lines, it's basically Cody and the Bucks and Kenny Omega, and basically saying that they don't get along, they're not on speaking terms. Dave Meltzer on the Wrestling Observer Board said they're talking, but Cody's relationship with them is more as a business associate, not as a friend. And it's just one of those things. I think there's always a honeymoon period with a new company, and I feel like you're gonna hear more stories like this, you know, as time goes on.
You'll hear more as time goes on. As you said, Raj, some of it is a honeymoon period. You know, right now AEW, maybe aside from somebody who had a cup of coffee or somebody who's been on the outer layer getting tryouts on Dark or Elevation, there's not an abundance of talent who have been around and have been able to hear and see things that are now no longer with the company and that are going to go do RF shoot videos. You know, that's not as time goes on and people all of a sudden maybe have a little bit of a grudge or they have nothing to lose with that company you'll start to hear more. I mean, you know, yeah, there's a ton of shoots on WWE because WWE's been around for 70 right. years. So there's a lot of gripes to be had. But so, yes, more things will come out. And you're dealing with four personalities, four, you know, characters who are in powers of position. It's inevitable. Egos are going to happen at times, whether they intend to or just unintentionally. And I do believe there's something to this. I think that probably it's something along the lines of, and I agree with what Meltzer's probably alluding to, which is, you know, I think, you know, the Bucks and Kenny, I think they became friends, or they are friends with each other. I think they even became with a certain relationship with Tony Khan. I think Cody, it is more of a business thing. I don't even know if Cody, you know, who knows? Tony Khan's the only one that can answer this. Was Cody and Tony Khan's original plans, or was somewhere along the way, did the Bucks or Kenny, did somebody endorse and say, no, Cody would be another good fit to have
here? Oh, yeah.
You know, so I do think when you start to play with those dynamics, you know, that's going to, you know, when it comes down to when we have to make a decision of how we're going to decide something A or B on a situation, that can start to rub people the wrong way.
Absolutely. And it's also in any business, the more people you get in at a certain level, the more problems there's going to be. You know, when it's just you, you make all your decisions. When it's you and someone else, you gotta acquiesce to certain things. When it's five other people or four other people, you know, then there's going to be disagreements and things like that. So it becomes a lot more difficult. I mean, these reports have been out for a while. I know Jim Cornette, what is the guy that does the podcast? Brian Last, I know, has talked about it in the past. It's always been rumored, but, I think where there's smoke, there's fire. But ultimately, you know, it is Tony Khan's show. It's not, you know, they're not all equal. So, but that's the deal.
There you go. What else do we have?
What else do we have? New Jack.
Oh my God, that's right.
Right. I was traveling
the last few days, but I saw that on Twitter. So give everyone the complete story.
New Jack passed away at the age of 58 due to a heart attack. You know, you go back and you watch his old stuff. You watch his promos. The guy had it. He had charisma. He had promo ability, but he was complicated, so he could not get a job in WWE because of his limitations with his style and what he did. He legitimately almost killed a guy in ECW. So, but man, he was, when you think of the top five stars at ECW, I think you got to throw him on there.
Yeah. Well, never mind. Almost killed a guy in a wrestling ring, but I believe outside of the ring had four justifiable homicides as beyond the mat. Right. So eloquently documented 20 years ago.
Right.
Yeah, you know, look, he certainly made his mark, which I think is actually pretty impressive because, like you said, Raj, he was such a – you can't put him on mainstream TV. Mm. So the fact that – and this is, you know, pre-social media, early ages of internet, the fact that he made the mark that he did, given the limitations of – he never appeared on WWE programming. He's never going to be in the WWE Hall of Fame. Never was on WC. You know, that's remarkable. It says a lot about the word of mouth of you, this guy is like no other. And I think it's also something – I mean, obviously, you know, rest in peace and sorry for his family and all losing him at 58. But it is quite remarkable to think that the life that the guy lived and the stories that he openly talked about and the tales and the situations he put himself in, there is something, I guess, maybe peaceful that he just got to at least – it seems like pass away and at least, you know, around family is what I'm trying to get at, that it wasn't something far more chaotic and tragic.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. It was, it's one of those things it's surprising when you see it, you're just not expecting, because he was not old at all. You haven't really heard much from him over the last, you know, 5-6 years. Yeah, really sad, you know, but condolences obviously to his family. Man, I remember interviewing him almost 10 years ago, and I've talked to him a few times, but this was the first time we did an official interview, and my first question to him was something about ECW. He got pissed. He just laid into me. And I was like, oh, damn, this is how this is going to go. And then the rest of the interview was just great. Like, he was, it was just one of the funnest interviews I did. He was hilarious. If you do a search, you know, Wrestling Inc. New Jack interview, you'll find it. But man, he was awesome. He had so much charisma, natural humor, just a charming personality. Like, he was easy to listen to, and he can suck you in. So it's unfortunate he didn't get to be a bigger star. He had his own issues, but man, he was one of a kind.
Do you remember when you did the interview? Did he handle his interview bookings himself, or did he have somebody that did it?
Oh man, I can't remember. I think this was when Shane Douglas was doing
Extreme Rising.
Yeah. And so it was to promote that, because I was talking with Shane a lot back then, and I think it was through that.
Alonzo Smith saying New Jack was the DMX of pro wrestling, and now they're both gone. Rest in peace to New Jack and DMX.
I still got DMX on my workout list.
As you should. Anything else?
Yeah, Chris Went saying, outside of the zombies, this was the most predictable pay-per-view of all time. I thought that certain wrestlers were going to win. It was an easy sucker's bet to win. It was really predictable. It was pretty predictable.
To enter that DraftKings contest.
I did get the Mysterios wrong.
Really?
But, I did. Just because they've been winning all the time on SmackDown. Like, Ray, you know, was it Ray or Dominic that just won on Friday, then the week before they won?
Oh.
That's usually, you know.
Your algorithm. So
your algorithm's getting debunked.
Got jacked. Joe Shana Jenkins saying, hey guys, love this lineup. Also wish Matt was back. Any chance of just keeping you guys all the time? No offense to the others, LOL.
Well, we got to move some things around. We're going to make that happen.
All right. Yeah, schedules and such. The Token Dome saying, a few weeks ago, I wasn't sure about Roman's new music, but that entrance is fire. His swagger is out of this world. It just feels like another level of star when he comes out.
Aha, my audio is not coming through my thing.
I was going to say that. I was going to say
that. Yeah, thanks, Rush. Thanks for bringing something up. There we are. Okay, how about now?
Okay. There you go. Perfect.
This is something earlier on now, you know. Let's take it from the top again. We'll have 15 minutes. I think we can do a better take. Basically, everybody, welcome to the Wrestling Inc. podcast, talking about Backlash 2021. Top of the show.
So did you hear about the AEW infighting? No, I'm just kidding.
I'll do the entire thing again. And I'll act surprised. I'll go, no, I did not hear that. What's the story? Oh, man. So tonight we saw Ricochet answer Sheamus's open challenge for the United States Championship on the pre-show. Ricochet looking a little different tonight, wrestling street clothes, coming out to the ring.
I actually did not see this match, Justin. No,
I had not yet got to Peacock, so
the spirit of Matt Morgan lives on. I'm the only one that's watching the pre-show.
What'd you think?
It was good. It was good. I mean, Sheamus, though, man, like that longshoreman look that he's got, like he just came down from the docks from a second job. I mean, I don't know. I think Ricochet looked good tonight in this match, but until they start getting him on a winning streak, it's just may as well be Hurricane when they call him the superhero of WWE. Because if you don't have the credibility of wins behind it, it doesn't all collapse. Yeah.
And that's I've said that before about him. He can do phenomenal things, but he is a He moves like a superhero, but he speaks like a Hollywood stuntman. Like, it doesn't, like, you know, he does the things a stuntman can do, but he has the charisma. But no, but that's just what they've allowed and what I've heard of him. There is no, you know, you have to talk people to build and you have to connect. And right. Like, other than, again, him being able to do some very amazing, high flying things, there's just no connection. Now, again, part of that or a lot of that might be on WWE for not putting them in the position to, you know, have something to speak on or have a direction. I'm not sure, but that's the way I could summarize Ricochet's WWE run is does things that a Hollywood stuntman does, but speaks like one.
His promos, I feel like, have been getting better. Like, he's been doing some, like, online, the stuff him and Mustafa Ali, and it sounds a lot better than where he was a year ago, but, you know, I don't get why they don't just move him back to NXT. He's got value there. He fits in better there. You know, why waste him where he's at right now?
How old is Ricochet? 32 years old.
32?
Yeah. Not that he looks it. I'm just wondering, though, like, career trajectory wise.
Well, like even when he was at Lucha Underground and he was under a mask, and so but he had a they had these great. I mean, Lucha Underground was great with this anyways. But the vignettes, the backstory. I think Conan was like mentor, like in the backstory from where his ancestors came from. I think it was King Cuerno. Was that?
He was Prince Puma.
Prince Puma was, and even that he didn't have to speak. You know, Conan could speak for him in the backstory, and that tied perfectly in with what he was physically able to do. And it was a great package. It was a great complete package. I was excited when Ricochet was coming to WWE. But I think that I was applying Prince Puma logic and not looking more at what he was as just Ricochet on the independent scene, which again got over like Rover for being able to do these crazy things you had to see to believe live. But WWE, the massive TV production, it needs to be more than just that.
Yeah.
And the weird thing, you know, the zombies would not have felt out of place on Lucha Underground.
There might have been zombies on there. I didn't watch every episode. Holy Puma, speaking of Puma, saying the zombies were the most believable and realistic moment in WWE history. What do you guys think?
Isn't it amazing we had a segment with zombies? And like you would have thought, okay, if I would have told one of you a month ago, there's going to be zombies on an upcoming WWE pay-per-view, you would have been like, oh, what is this fiend thing doing? What is the fiend doing? Right. They had nothing. It wasn't even...
I mean...
For a Miz match. So random.
I'm not saying it can't be done well. But you know what I didn't like tonight? The Army of the Dead promotion, I didn't like... and they did this before, I think, for a Marvel movie, where they're intercutting the film clips with WWE. Right. It's very cheesy. It doesn't work. It has no synergy to it. Felt really forced.
Even with Batista doing the voiceover, who crosses over into both worlds?
If he'd shown up...
I did like the Batista voiceover until they were doing the fusion. I mean, yeah, they've done it before. I think AEW did it with Kong versus Godzilla, right? They were doing some cross-promotional stuff, but... You'll see, UFC has done it in the past with movies where they fuse them. And I agree. I just feel like it looks cheesy.
The movie looks cool, but that's the problem. It's like, don't show us something 100 times cooler than the wrestling we're watching because it's just going to point out the flaws. And we'll talk about this match. I feel like this match is going to be what most people talk about tonight just because of the sheer WTF nature of it. Alejandro Villarreal, $5, saying, honestly, this event tonight felt like a normal Raw episode. And the zombie thing did feel like a Raw thing, not a pay-per-view thing.
I just hate when they do stuff like that. Where, you remember back when Shaft was coming out and they had Samuel L. Jackson being Shaft and they had to act like he was Shaft. And it's... Everyone knows that's not Shaft. You know, it's just it just gets too hokey.
No, the Rick and Morty, as someone, Enukai Sinambre, is pointing out, Rick and Morty in AEW, that was pretty cheesy.
I forget that one.
They had, what was it, with Best Friends and Orange Cassidy, and like one of them was like cosplaying as Rick. It was just kind of dumb. So the actual card started tonight with the triple threat for the Raw Women's title, Asuka versus Charlotte Flair versus Rhea Ripley. And thank the heavens, Rhea Ripley got a definitive win tonight, to sort of solidify her top of the card status. Justin, what'd you think of this match?
I thought it was a solid opener. You know, you're starting with this triple threat for the women, and I thought it was a good story. You know, Charlotte obviously showing off her athleticism. She's doing the bulk of the heavy lifting. She's the most proven. She's got not buying this new Rhea Ripley come in and being champion. And then all of a sudden, after doing all the heavy lifting, Rhea just sneaks in for the victory. So I thought this was a really solid opener. Really can't find much complaint about anything in this one.
Yeah. I do think that Rhea Ripley might be in trouble. As far as I just don't see, they're not scripting her well. Don't think they get her. And with the promos that they're writing for her and everything, I just worry about it.
You mean Vince isn't sitting down for extra dinners with Rhea Ripley?
Because they're steak wrap. Right.
Yeah, I mean, you could tell Vince gets Charlotte Flair. He gets that character. He's behind it. He does not get Rhea Ripley, and that's a tough hill to climb. But
Which is why it's impressive she retained tonight, I think, because it seemed like the most obvious thing in the world for Charlotte to win.
It would have buried her if she lost already after winning.
But you know what? This was the one I thought the most that, the title's going to change. I thought there was going to be this match because I already thought, yeah, they're going to move off from Rhea Ripley. So I don't know. I mean, now I wonder, now that we know Hell in a Cell's next, like, do we see Rhea Ripley in Hell in a Cell?
Rhea versus Charlotte in the Cell, right? Mm-hmm.
So. I did think it was weird to beat Asuka again when she just lost on Raw this past Monday. They've kind of, I don't know, just feels, I mean, you know, but, you can't push everyone all the time, but
she can take that dip and then come back and be unstoppable. Right. You know, now she's lost, I think if she's going to lose, have it condensed in one period and then bring her back.
Yeah.
You know,
what'd you guys think of Charlotte's ring attire?
Couldn't quite make out what that was. And I say that, I'm not saying it looked bad. I just wasn't sure. Was there an homage or something I didn't get? Or
I guess Cruella is what
I thought it was like a Dalmatian thing, but then I looked at the texture of it and I was like, is it that? I couldn't tell.
Yeah, I thought it was paw prints, and then but then I looked more and I was like, is it actually supposed to be some kind of a queen symbol?
Oh, yeah. Maybe.
You know, I don't know.
Yeah, maybe. It looked like pajamas to me. And you know, Charlotte is one of the best in the entire industry as far as looking like a star, and I just felt like that wasn't
it
wasn't up to par of what she usually does.
It didn't have the majesty of her normal attire, I put it that way. It seemed a little more avant-garde, but yeah, I think normally she comes out and she looks like someone that if you're flipping the channels, you're like, well, this is clearly the top woman in all of wrestling,
right?
The way that she presents herself. So yeah, it was different, but you know, I'm all in favor of people trying new things.
Yeah.
Maybe that's the next crossover is the new Cruella DeVille movie. And we'll have the Kennel from Hell match returns.
So a bunch of puppies at ringside.
Yeah, absolutely. Zombies. Then we go to Dalmatians.
Yeah.
It'll be interesting. So this was a really good match. Got a good amount of time, good amount of breathing room, but Rhea did hit Asuka with the Riptide and got the pin to retain. I think it's going to be Rhea versus Charlotte in the Cell. And yeah. I worry about Rhea not winning that match.
Yeah. Holy Puma saying Charlotte's outfit was inspired by the Dalmatians. F50 saying, sup guys, late to the stream, but seeing the zombie stuff and watching previous Wrestling Inc. reviews, I imagine that Raj may need a long vacation to the North Pole. It's not wrong.
It's weird that people tune into this podcast and they're just like, oh, these guys, like, we all suffered through this together. Like, let's have our little support group.
But what great equity we've built up with the audience. Like in this case, Raj. People know what Raj dislikes. He dislikes the magic and sci-fi stuff to come into play, especially randomly in this sense. And like, you're watching, and the first thing you think when you're watching this and the zombies are lumberjacks is you go, holy shit, I have to watch the Wrestling podcast. I got to see this guy blow up. What a great gimmick there. I mean, we're all probably guilty, but everybody probably could find something that each of us would hate. That's a great work there, Raj. Great work.
It is always interesting because, you know, I'll get on Twitter and be like, oh my God, you must hate this. It's like, I do. Damn, know me like,
you know,
really,
Raj,
well.
Not to steal some of NYC Demon Divas Thunder, but you should be doing reaction videos and just film yourself during the entire time, you know, speed it up and then slow it down. You know, maybe you don't even need audio, just a look on your face when the zombies appear on screen and at the ring, you know?
Yeah.
James Curtis saying, I'm here for the Raj rant on zombies.
It's coming.
I wish I would have known Raj 13 or 14 years ago when ECW was rebooted on Sci-Fi.
No, we didn't have a podcast back then, but man.
Oh, I wish I knew you. I wish I could call you.
Oh, man.
Like, just hear you bitch and be
mad. Oh, my gosh. That's another level. Yeah, that would be the first zombie we saw on WWE TV.
Yeah.
The Sandman took care of it.
Mm-hmm.
Well, technically, though.
Kevin Thorne.
I mean, the Undertaker's undead, so.
Right. Zombie-ish.
Yeah. you know.
Glenn, don't try to drag one of the all-time greats into this.
His character. His character is the undead.
What if one of the zombies at ringside was the Undertaker?
He just really wanted to.
It's like, wait, shit, Undertaker's there.
What an Easter egg that would have been if somebody could have screen grabbed that.
If I was going to drag somebody on this, I was thinking in my head, I was like, who will I not get in trouble for a former commentator to just say, like, well, they've been dead for the last 20 years and nobody noticed. But no, I think you know, I'm just saying character-wise, the Undertaker, that is part of his character. So it's not completely out of, it's not out of the lore. Spen, Buck 99, Chance Rhea has a title run with Charlotte around. Yeah, I mean, is it almost so much of an obvious fear? Remember when Eva Marie battled Bayley for the NXT Women's Championship? And it was like so obvious, the fear, that they really milked that for all it was worth. It was actually a pretty good match.
I do not remember that, but
it was well done.
I know it happened. I don't remember.
Yeah.
They brought in a ref that corporate supposedly wanted for the match. Nia Jax was ringside as an enforcer. They made it seem like Eva Marie was going to, the Bayley was going to get, you know, the short end of the stick, and Eva Marie was going to get, you know, handed the title essentially. So I think with Charlotte, there is something there, but I'm afraid that's actually going to happen and not be a subversion.
Someone brought up on Twitter about Eva Marie winning the Women's Money in the Bank match and how that would get more attention than anything else out there, and it would.
But from who, though?
Oh man, the internet would break if Eva Marie.
Yeah, but it would get attention from wrestling fans. This isn't like Ronda Rousey coming into the WWE. This isn't like.
Yeah, but you know what? Eva's got out. She has a huge following on social, and she has done some movies and stuff like that. Like she was not the. By no means was a good wrestler.
Right.
She got so much heat by just coming out to the entrance, posing, and then turning back around, not doing a match. And I think you recognize star value there. And the other thing I think to keep in mind, she has been, you know, we've all kind of known or we've heard that she's been, you know, under contract or back with them for longer than just these last few weeks in the vignettes. There's videos out there. I wouldn't put it past that she's actually given this a different try this time around, and they are collectively. And she's training and trying to, you know, I'm not saying she's going to be Charlotte, but.
Oh, yeah.
I do believe that she's going that when they actually roll her out and she gets in the ring, that she is going to the bar is so low by her critics that she will exceed it, whether they want to admit it or not.
No, I agree, but I think that I'm saying the attention she would get would be from people that are already fans of wrestling. It's not like Cardi B coming in and doing a match where you get all these people that don't have any familiarity with the product coming in and watching.
But there would be so many reacting to it, you know.
It would be just like the Raj thing we just said about people. There would be so many people who would be ready to watch the next week only so they have their tweets and their drafts lined up to bitch about it.
Yeah. It's like any time, like that one year when Roman Reigns were on the Royal Rumble or Batista, and you had cancel WWE Network trending, and their business actually went up, you know, and their subscriptions went up, and the ratings were higher.
I thought at the end of her last run when she was doing that gimmick where she didn't actually wrestle and had the excuse each time, I thought that was actually brilliant.
Oh, yeah, it was hilarious.
You know, so yeah, I have not been watching Raw since I have left behind the Monday Night Podcast, but I understand she's back, and I hope it's going well.
You haven't been watching Raw?
Oh, it's so nice, Justin. It's so nice.
You asshole.
Disloyal.
I didn't know what to do with myself the first week. I was like, it's Monday night. Is Alf still on? MacGyver? Like, what am I going to watch? Like, what else am I going to check out? But now
so
it's...
so lucky.
Leave the rest of us in the trenches.
I know.
It's a nice break, man. It's a nice break. Chris Pantaleo, $4.99. When we were younger, imagine 1989. Rick Rude versus Warrior versus Ninja Turtles foot soldiers outside the ring in a lumberjack match.
Yeah, that's kind of where we are. I mean, the closest thing I could think was RoboCop, when they had RoboCop in WCW, and he broke into the cage and... Yeah,
but that the target audience then,
like, they didn't know what their target audience was.
Yeah, but I'm saying like now, like it's people.
Let's not act like Turner had like an analytics team and research working specifically to find out who is WCW. They turn in the break room and go, "Oh, it's a bunch of the Southern rednecks that watches." I don't. There was no analytics.
Right. You'd have the ding dongs, and then you'd have Ric Flair, you know, getting busted open, bleeding all over the place. So.
So we had backstage.
Hot take theory. From Demon Diva. Oh. She likes Eva Marie.
I like Eva Marie. I think that I like the heat that she gets and the reaction she gets from people.
Yeah.
You know, it's very effective.
It works. I mean, that's what wrestling is, right? Is getting a reaction. She knows how to do that.
Absolutely. So Dominic Mysterio got beat up backstage. Rey Mysterio went out to face the Dirty Dogs, which I still can't believe that's their name. Dolph Ziggler and Robert Roode, 2-on-1 for the tag team championships. And Rey looked like he was going to single-handedly win this match until the tides turned and he got his ass kicked. And then Dominic came out for the assist. And now we have father and son SmackDown tag team champions with Dominic and Rey Mysterio. So admittedly, I missed SmackDown this past Friday because I was traveling. But Raj, how are you feeling about all this?
I think it's cool. I mean, it's a historic thing. I would have waited until doing it in front of fans. I feel like that story, you know, it could. And if we're going back to fans in July, it's not that far. But it's cool. Cool moment. It gives Dominic something. Gives Rey something. I thought it was really cool.
Yeah, to the point of fans, I kind of figured, like, why didn't you work in time on this to have this be a Mania thing? This would have been a great Mania moment.
Absolutely.
In front of those fans, and it wouldn't have this would have not anchored either night like main evented, but it would just been a great Mania moment. And from next 20 years when Mania season comes around and we show the Mania moments, this would have been great. Showing Ray and Dominic when Dominic was however old back 15 years ago when he was on SmackDown, and then showing this. So yeah, I thought this was, again, kind of redundant to the first the match, but a great story. Is a very tale as old as time. You know, Dominic can't go, Ray's gonna do it himself. You know, when I'll say this about Dominic, everything he does, what they choose for him to do offensively, he does well. They have figured out so far what his skill set is. He threw a super kick when he countered when Dolph was gonna come in for the super kick. Mm-hmm. Looked good. He did the Eddie frog splash finish. Look tight, look smooth. Everything Dominic is doing looks good. He's not going out there. You know, his father or whoever else is training him is not lying to him and saying, oh, you look good doing this, you do that well, when he's not. Like, he's getting honest feedback and opinions and good teaching, obviously. So that's cool. And I just want the other thing I want to point out, what a crazy age disparity when you have Ray at 46, Robert Roode at 45, and Dolph at 40 out there, and then Dominic at 24, he's got a lot of experience to learn from in these kind of matches and situations. Again, it's only going to help him long term if he sticks with this.
Yeah.
No, absolutely. So Jackson, hey, what's up, Jax? Saying Dom should have turned on Ray after the win. Ray's biggest night in his personal wrestling career. Big heat.
Ah, too early. Too early. That turn will definitely come, Jax. That'll be a great stab in the back. Great gladiator Roman Empire stuff of son stabbing the father for the throne. But that's way too early. And yeah, you definitely need fans for that.
If they're smart, they hold off on that until like February, so you have the match at Mania. But I feel like they sometimes just blow stuff off way too quickly. Hopefully they don't do it with that.
At 55 pounds, saying straight shooting, watching without knowing the results, I enjoy the YouTube personalities more than the actual thing. Am I broken or is wrestling broken? Perhaps a little both.
We get a lot of that. We get a lot of people who don't watch Raw and they tune into the podcast and that's...
Well, and shout out to all the different channels. Like you know, a lot of these comments are YouTube, but I know people on Twitch are watching, Facebook are watching, Periscope are watching. Tomorrow you're listening on audio format in whatever way. That's awesome.
I just read Raj's angry tweets during shows I'm not watching, and it tells me everything I need to know.
Yeah, there are some positive ones. Issa had a good one there.
Oh, yeah. Saying bring on the Usos, brothers versus father and son.
Yeah, that's it seems like that's where they're headed.
I think that'd be good. And then the Usos versus the Street Profits, which I think is where the money is.
Oh, yeah. That'll be...
I like that they're marketing the Usos a little bit individually. Like, I like that Jimmy and Jay each have their own shirt. That's kind of cool.
Jimmy's always been... You've always saw it in him. Jay has really stepped up over the past year. But, I mean, they've really shown over the past 6 or 7 months that individually they're strong singles acts, too, if they want to be. You know,
it's true.
Jimmy Uso is the one married to Naomi, right?
Yeah.
But no, I think that, it'll be interesting to see how they progress. Because with the Usos just now getting their own identities, through these storylines, and I think having them apart for a while, I think Dominic needs to step up a bit before he goes off solo and proves, you know, that he's the Winona Judd of professional wrestling. So after that,
Winona Judd.
Yeah, she was the daughter, right? The Judds.
She was part of the Judge. It was Winona, Ashley, and...
Well, no, Ashley's the younger... Yeah, Ashley was not in the Duke. The Judds was just Winona and her mother, Naomi? Is that right?
No, Naomi Judd... Wasn't she the one that was in Mulholland Drive?
I thought there was three in the...
That's Naomi Watts.
No, Naomi Judd was the mom. It was just the two of them.
It was just Naomi and Winona.
Yeah, and then Ashley was...
But Ashley was just like... the actress.
Yes, exactly. She was like the Elizabeth Olsen of the family.
Why did I think that there were three Judds in the musical act?
That's what I thought. I thought it was a threesome. Wilson Phillips, right? Or is that someone else?
Wilson Phillips was three, yes. It was Brian Wilson's two daughters. And then what's-her-face daughter or the mamas and the papas guy? Mm-hmm. China Phillips, who's married to Billy Baldwin. I don't know why I know that.
I would love to do pub trivia with you, Glenn. You're on my team.
When we were on a cruise, my wife and I were doing pub trivia so much that, like, on the fifth night in a row, another couple showed up, saw we were there, and said, just no. And they turned around and left.
They're out.
They were so sick of us winning. Yeah. Anyhow, after this match, they're celebrating. It's good. I think, and then we saw the zombies.
Who had a dressing room, mind you. They had a formal space to come out of, which is great.
They didn't have a sign that said zombies on the dressing room.
It said lumberjacks.
No.
And then, wouldn't you know it, they were the lumberjacks in the match for The Miz versus Damian Priest.
All right, I'll put the one positive spin on all this. Here's the one positive. It's kind of ridiculous, yeah. You know, it looks like something out of a video game where you get to select where do you want your wrestling match to take place, and then you pick a setting of crazy apocalyptic world. Miz and Priest are both very good, but it's hard to even focus on that because you're just watching. At the end, the final shot though, Damian Priest does his arrow thing, shoots. They put up the Army of the Dead. Is that the name of the movie, Army of the Dead?
I believe so.
He's 2 for 2. He's one of the best transitions ever from NXT to the main roster, Raj.
There we go.
He did tremendous cross promotion. You know, one of the big cross promotion things going into Mania with Bad Bunny. He hit it. He delivered it. And I'm sure he smiled and delivered what they wanted. So if we can find something to take away as a positive, never mind how silly it was or that Raj's wife and kids walked in and saw it and are questioning. We can say a guy in Damian Priest, who's very talented, who I would love to see in the main event picture sooner rather than later, he had to have walked through the curtain. And if Vince was there tonight, I'm sure he got an attaboy from Vince. And, you know, he did his job again. So
I had some notes on this. One second, guys. Let me find notes. Let me find what I had here. Just
the plungers to your left.
Oh, let's see. Here we go. Oh, one second. Ah, here we go. This fucking sucked. And, you know, I think that's that's the best way to put it. It was
Karnak, a magician over here.
It was embarrassing. I mean, I thought everything about it was just terrible.
It's true. I was watching the Mighty Ducks Game Changers earlier today when my wife came back from a walk, and I thought that was going to be the most humiliating thing that I was caught watching.
Was this bad enough to ruin the pay-per-view?
Three episodes into that. Don't tell me, Glenn. Don't ruin
I haven't started it yet.
It's actually three. Pretty good, but it's very Cobra Kai. You can tell like they watched Cobra Kai and then wrote this series.
I love me some Lauren Graham, so don't.
Everybody loves
Lauren Graham's Graham. Awesome. But yeah, this was it's one of those that it's so bad that it could ruin a pay-per-view. Luckily, the rest of the show was good enough that it didn't.
And they've had some weird-ass product integrations before.
Yeah, I mean, Jerry Lawler, after having his heart attack, eating KFC,
Keeping it real.
Yeah.
Remember when there was a weird reboot of the Three Stooges and Sean Hayes played one of the Stooges, and they had him in makeup in Stooges character backstage doing part of the vignettes? Yeah, I mean, there's been some, but this was front and center of like, and I even said last week, Rush, to you on Monday, when they announced it would be a lumberjack match, and I was like, you know, 1993 in the Hammerstein, you know, in the old Manhattan Center, when it was Hacksaw Jim Duggan versus Shawn Michaels, a lumberjack match was exciting because you got to see all these people on TV. And this is back in the time where you got, you know, TV talent versus jobber. So it was exciting. And it's just amazing how, you know, in 30 years, how that's just fallen away of lumberjack matches are literally the laziest stipulation you can come up
with. They really should have used the Muppets this way when they guest hosted the show.
Remember that time they had the A-Team and like Bradley Cooper walked out. He wanted nothing to do with it. He's like, hey, guys, see ya. Just left.
And then there was a
Quentin Rampage Jackson kidnapping angle and he was handcuffed to the ropes.
Dr. Ken. Yeah.
Right.
Summerfest.
So maybe in the grand scheme of things, this was better than most. I don't know. So look, the zombies were there.
It's like, did you see that clip online of that indie show this past weekend of some guy getting his nuts cut on fire?
Yeah, I did.
It's just one of those where people see that and they see that you watch this stuff and they just think, okay, this is what you watch. And this was this zombie stuff was kind of fed into that.
Yes.
Where it's embarrassing.
It was embarrassing.
Shout out to Corey Graves and anybody from Pittsburgh who picked up this reference. Graves made a mention at one point when the zombies were pulling somebody out of the ring.
Oh, yeah, the mall.
Of his old days in the Monroeville Mall, which is right here in Pittsburgh, which is where he grew up. So I know there's some Pittsburgh people that watch this, so if they called it, that was their Easter egg for the night.
There was Day of the Dead?
Yeah, because George Romero from this area. Mm-hmm.
Oh, man. Just what can we say about this match?
To your point, Justin, the problem I had with this, as far as Damian Priest goes, is that I thought the zombies were so distracting that it just took away from, you know, even though he had the shooting arrow at the end and everything, I just thought, you walk away is, oh my God, they had zombies out there.
Okay, but playing devil's zombie advocate, the opposite of that is the people playing the zombies are so they're either committed to doing it and just making this work in this live one take situation, or they look, I don't know. I mean,
those were not Halloween Horror Nights actors.
Like,
look,
I'll try to find some positives. I'm glad it wasn't like they played some zombie music and they all came out from the gorilla position from the curtain.
What zombie music? Like Time of the Season?
Actually, I don't know. If they started dancing to Thriller at the end, that would have saved this.
No, but think about it. Think about this. If they would have been like, now the lumberjacks, and they all would have came out from the curtain, at least they all kind of just, you know, risen up from different areas and kind of came out. You know, they blocked the cameras the right way. You know, they had smoke to try to keep, you know, they made there was no Thunderdome 12-year-old going, as a zombie was eating, like, you know, they try to make it look apocalyptic, but like I do think there are certain things if we try to look at, okay, what if they did the opposite? This could have even been much worse. So I'm just trying to take all that into consideration here.
This would have been a cinematic match and Damian Priest literally shot flaming arrows into the zombies, I might have a much different tune.
That probably would have been pretty cool. Did this match make you want to watch Army of the Dead?
No, but I want to see Army of the Dead. The trailers they showed tonight looked cool. It's like, this actually looks like a pretty interesting movie.
If you
movie.
Stick with that, have Batista talking about it, I think that's way more effective than this crap.
No, I don't want to. I don't want to watch the movie. But we'll put that chat back up.
Chris Pantaleo, Lisa Zombie didn't win the 24/7 title.
That wins the night so far.
Where is R-Truth? He's like disappeared.
Yeah, Alonzo's saying this was a cinematic match. If you think about it, except it wasn't shot. Style, the lighting, they tried to do. I mean, and that's the thing. It's like you can't do Night of the Living Dead as a Broadway show. It's not going to work the same way. You need to have atmosphere, you know. And you can't. Not everything as a movie works as a play. Yes, as Sergio saying, these were not the Universal Studios Halloween Horror Nights, not zombies. I think it was all like PC people. I was seeing reports online.
Yeah.
Like the Performance Center. So, so Damian Priest had his moment, despite all of this. I'm going to watch Army of the Dead after we get done with the podcast. Now, is that out yet? Is that on Netflix? Can I watch that already?
I don't know. The Shawn Michaels documentary is out, though.
How was that?
I haven't seen. I mean, it was on at the same time competing with this. Yeah.
Army of the Dead doesn't come out till the 21st?
Ah,
what the heck?
That's next week.
Show me this and tell me I got to wait. Not cool. Not cool, man.
Anyone in the chat, let us know how the Shawn Michaels documentary was if you watched it.
SmackDown Women's Title match, Bayley versus Bianca Belair, and Bianca again solidifying her even further, getting the win tonight. But what did you think about this match, Justin?
It was a good match. I'll say this. I'm a fan of Bianca. Glad she retained. Didn't really think that she would lose it. Bayley's heel work might be even better than her babyface work, and I think that says something.
Oh, yeah.
She was such – I mean, like, there was a point I remember seeing her live in NXT where I was like, you know, she could be, you know, female level – maybe not – maybe not John Cena level, but she could be like the lead female, like the lead female.
That
merch,
was the quote.
Merch
that was
getter.
The supposedly insider quote from the execs. This is our female Cena.
Yeah. And, you know, I mean, it did what it did when she moved to Raw and SmackDown. And again, NXT, the main roster conversations. But, you know, this heel persona that she's found, that she's tapped into, and like that cackling laugh. And I mean, and then even her, obviously her ring work. I don't know, just impressive. I just think that's worth noting. She's not the champion, but I think her heel work is maybe surpassing her work as a face, which, again, that's saying something.
I feel like the only baby face right now in wrestling that's working is Darby Allin. Like, everyone else just seems to be way more effective as a heel, and I think in WWE, part of that is because they can't script baby faces well. You know, we've seen guys start to get momentum, Seth Rollins, you know, other guys in the past, and
he has such an edge, though.
Seth Rollins?
No, Darby. Darby does.
Yeah. I mean, his promos aren't really that great, but his persona and his personality, he has that it factor where, you know, he every week his segments do either the best or second best on the show. And it's consistent, and you don't really see that much nowadays. So,
which is wild too. I mean, I guess hats off to him. He's the smallest guy out of anybody that we could be talking about. Not in personality, but just his physical stature. I mean, he's a skinny, small, short guy.
Right.
But to the point, he's got this kind of, I don't know if it's larger than life, but he's got this very mysterious, like, I got to see more of what this guy is doing. He's so damn crazy.
Yeah. You hear the comparisons to Jeff Hardy. It was kind of the same thing. Cause you know, when Jeff Hardy was getting big, he was one of the smallest guys on the roster at that point. Yeah. And he just had that connection.
Yeah. So. I mean, to be fair, if Jeff Hardy stands like a Darby Allin,
he's huge.
Yeah. Huge.
Yeah. So the triple threat match for the WWE Championship, Drew McIntyre versus Braun Strowman versus Bobby Lashley. Bobby getting the win here, pinning Strowman to retain the title. I mean, there were some moments, a lot of action outside of the ring. Raj, what did you think of this match?
I thought it was really good. I mean, this was exact. I mean, I called it on Twitter before. I figured Drew would have Braun beat, and then Lashley comes in and takes the win, which is what happened. And it's what should have happened, in my opinion. He keeps Drew strong. Lashley, it doesn't make sense to beat him yet. You just gave him the big win at WrestleMania. Go with it. Ratings, you know, if you look at just numbers and TV ratings, usually you see a steep decline this time of year. And they've been holding up pretty well since Lashley's been champ. I mean, this past week, Raw was the only show that didn't drop a ton, you know, whereas Dynamite, SmackDown looks like it did. The final ratings will be out on Monday, but it looks like it dropped big time. I mean, go with what works. Lashley seems to be working as champ, so there's no reason to end that.
I think Lashley looks really good, and this is long overdue, so I don't want to, like, poo-poo on that, but to go against you, Raj, to be fair, yeah, the things aren't dropping the way they normally do in this time of year, but Raj, you're not acknowledging, Raw also is at the lowest bar ever.
Right, like, we're down to the hardest.
It's holding the ratings because these are people that will just...
Yeah.
These are TVs that are just on in the background.
Yeah.
I know what you mean. Like, we're down to you can't go much lower.
The most consistent draw in the lowest rated period.
If there's another sharp decline, NXT is potentially beating them.
No.
If there's another sharp decline.
No, if there's another decline, you got
it. Yeah, it would have to be a huge decline. I mean, NXT did what, 697,000 viewers last week, whereas Raw did 1.8 million.
Maybe AEW, I guess I'm thinking about the million mark. What I'm saying is if we look at in the last 5 years, the percentage they continue to drop, I mean, if they keep that on pace and where we're at come 23, 24, you know, a couple, and I mean, I don't know, it's, but nonetheless, I mean, I'm glad Lashley's champion. I mean, he's it's long overdue, but yeah, this was, I mean, it's a fun match, really good match.
Good
for how big these three guys are. I mean, there are a couple spots that some of these guys are leaving their feet, you know, Braun doing a front flip, Drew jumping off ropes. I mean, Drew did a Michinoku driver. I mean, this was a, you know, hard hitting match, but I'm kind of over these three at this point. I kind of want a fresh challenger for Bobby.
Yeah.
But with Hell in a Cell next, that Hell in a Cell doesn't usually mean new challenger. So.
Right. And I think that Bayley versus Bianca had the really unfortunate situation of following the zombie match. Like, I feel that there was good energy towards the end of that, but then to go to that, to this, it was a strong back half to the show, but it was still, I think, recovering from that zombie match.
Yeah.
Still, that's a great statement. Still recovering from the zombie.
Yeah.
And to your point, you know, I'd like to see, you know what? I mean, if they could re-sign Dan O'Brien, that would be a great challenger, because it's such a great story with Lashley as this gigantic monster and Daniel Bryan as this guy that everyone loves. Yeah. I mean,
look, let
Edge.
I guess you need something big for SummerSlam, but I'm just wondering, you know, you they do something at Hell in a Cell with, you know, Lashley, Drew, or Braun again. I mean, he's definitely on the pace. Like, I think you look at, like, who's a babyface up. I mean, Damian Priest on that brand.
Yeah.
That's your guy that's being right now given the most protection overall.
But you don't want to beat him yet either.
Mm.
I'm not saying I'm not saying he has to be beat. Maybe he's the next. I mean, how long does Lashley go?
But if you look at where this match was on the card and you say the charisma of Bianca and everything she brings to that match, and you look at the charisma and power of Roman, it's like, does Bobby almost need to break off from MVP now or do something to establish his character a bit more? I feel like, I don't know, I feel like he looks like a credible champ, but I'm just not feeling the same presence in his promos.
I mean, yeah, MVP talks a lot more for Bobby than mm-hmm. but if anything, this whole, even though they've pretty much done away with the Hurt Business, or at least as the four person group, this is the most defined Bobby's really actually ever been as a character, in a presence and an entrance and a look. I mean, prior to that, Bobby was always just a guy that was just strong as hell. And I mean, this is, at least there's like a certain definition. He's got this, he's got this fancy entrance with the lightning bolts, and they mix in with the video package, and he's always in these nice suits, and MVP is kind of like his, I don't know what he's like, the right hand man.
He's the Paul Heyman.
Weird, because Heyman seems irrelevant. Like, Roman doesn't need Heyman at this point.
I felt like it helped him get going. I don't think I agree with you. I don't think he's doing much for him now. But when Reigns first turned heel, I thought having him aligned with Heyman really got it, that act on the fast track immediately.
It's interesting. Bossman says from Twitch, a Twitch comment saying that Bobby having the prize fighter gimmick, I think that does work with MVP, but when you got the prize, I don't know.
I mean, this is, I feel like Lashley right now is the most, feels like the biggest star he's ever felt like. With his presentation, the music, MVP, everything. I mean, he just feels larger than life, which he didn't really get there before. And, you know, a lot of that is just...
But where does the story...
The presentation.
If you think about it, okay, so Rocky lost in the first movie. Spoiler. Now, did they tie in the second one, or did he technically win?
No, he won.
He won the second one. Okay, so he won the second one. That was the chase. Rocky 3, he had to lose to become interesting again in defeating Mr. T. Rocky 4, he had to avenge his friend's death. Rocky 5, we're not going to talk about that. Rocky 6, he was coming back. He had something to prove. He didn't win, but he kind of did.
Spoiler alert again.
You know, I don't know. I'm saying it's tough.
You just gave away all the Rocky movies.
Apologies. And if you haven't watched Rocky Balboa, it's surprisingly great. It's probably my favorite film in the series, but probably the second best.
You're not counting the Creed movies, right?
I mean, Rocky's he's just sort of there. I mean, I'm really surprised they didn't kill him off in the last one.
Oh, man, he was great in Creed.
Yeah, anyway. But three, he's probably right. And three, like, it's time.
But look, I thought three is...
No, Creed 3. Creed 3, that's coming up.
You think... I don't think Stallone's in that one.
Maybe he's already dead.
You know what? I will text Michael B. Jordan and see what's going on.
You find that out. Raj has sources, everyone. I don't know if you are aware of that.
Right, yeah.
Jackson Gallons, $4.99. Was Roman taunting Brian on the camera during the match? TV, look at your boy. Think maybe Brian re-signs and gets back on SmackDown for this feud to continue. That is an interesting question.
I don't think. I don't think Brian's going to ultimately leave. I think he stays in WWE in some capacity.
Yeah, I agree. I just don't see him going. Dean Ambrose, when his contract was up, I think people that knew his goals figured he was leaving. I didn't think it was going to be AEW. I thought it was going to be New Japan, but.
And wasn't that amazing? I was thinking about that. It was 2 years ago this month. We were all in Vegas that weekend. And I was like, oh, he's not showing up. He doesn't. Like, everybody bought it. That's how good of a job he did.
Yeah.
And distracting people.
Yeah, 2 years, man. It feels like 5 years ago.
I don't know. It's crazy.
Real quick, Jared Wilson, $4.99, saying, hey, Rod, Wrestling Inc. just flashed up on the RVD doc that's airing now after Backlash. With the Sabu RVD arrest in 2006, but I saw that. Yeah, it's pretty cool. I think they had us on the Edge documentary last year, and a Batista one too. So, hey, props to WWE.
There you go. So Bayley versus Bianca, followed by the Triple Threat. Then the main event: Cesaro versus Roman Reigns. Cesaro in a title match in the main event of a pay-per-view. And this, even though we knew who was winning this was not a squash. I think this was the longest match of the night.
It was like 45 minutes, it felt like.
Yeah.
I mean, this made Cesaro look strong. It made Roman look strong. Like, this was an earned victory. This was not just a quick win.
Yeah. The fact this match was going on last, you know, when we saw the Raw title match, the Triple Threat going on, I was like, all right, Cesaro's going on last. You know, I didn't have high hopes. I wasn't going and calling a wrestling bookie and laying down thousands of dollars that Cesaro's going to win. But I was like, they got to end on something. And they played this up. They played up the stats of how many world title matches, how many main events, you know, Roman Reigns has had versus the zero, you know, for Cesaro. And this was a match that in that final sequence, you know, no Usos have come out at this point. I'm like, maybe. Like, they got me to actually go. Maybe Roman wins, but Cesaro looked like a main eventer. You know, so again, going same kind of philosophy I put with the Damian Priest positive spin on the zombie stuff. All I can think is trying to put yourself in Vince's shoes, and Vince's mind is like, you know, Cesaro got this brass ring opportunity. Maybe he seized it. Maybe he went out there and main evented with Roman Reigns, you know, the Roman Reigns, and maybe Vince goes, we have something more in a Cesaro that we need to work with here. So overall, this was, you know, really entertaining. And then afterward, I know Raj alluded earlier, I could have just left with them ending with Roman standing tall. And
yeah,
I don't know. I save the hoopla afterwards with Seth for Raw tomorrow.
Yeah, he's just beaten down constantly after. I feel like Cesaro has his limitations as far as outside of the ring. In the ring, he's, you know, one of the best in the business. Outside the ring with the promos and everything, as an intriguing character, you know, that's always been his shortcoming. And I felt like tonight's performance really overcame that. Whether Vince sees it or not, I would think he would. Roman has just proven himself to be super giving with all these matches. And I thought he was here too. And man, he just made Cesaro look like a superstar. He made Cesaro look like he belonged. It was, to your point, Justin, I was tweeting before the match, it was clear Roman's winning. And then they kind of had me guessing, like, wait, maybe they might change it and come back to it, you know?
I mean, what were the odds on the betting sites for Cesaro going over tonight? I'm thinking it had to be like 1,000 to 1.
Yeah, I mean, it was a long shot.
Yeah.
But that being said, I liked everything about this match. I like how it was designed. I like Roman winning clean. I think the Usos stuff is getting a little too predictable. So I like that the Usos weren't involved in the finish.
It was good.
Same thing with Daniel Bryan. You know, when Roman beat Daniel, I like Roman's this, you know, dominating character. You need to give him some clean wins too. Mm-hmm. And Cesaro is the guy he should be able to be clean. So I thought everything about this match was good. Cesaro looked great. It was a win-win for everyone. I mean, after the match, they made Cesaro look kind of like a dope with everyone beating on him.
That's the problem, is that by having Seth come out and beat up Cesaro...
Well, first, really... Jey Uso came down and beat on Cesaro.
Oh, that's right. Jey came down first, then Seth. But it really telegraphs that this next stretch is going to be Seth getting his win over Cesaro, and I think ultimately probably setting up Seth versus Roman.
They've kind of been teasing that. I mean, that's where right? It looks like they're going, but heel versus heel? I mean, Seth sucks as a babyface.
Yeah, maybe they could do something different with it, though.
There was also something on social media today. I don't remember who it was, but somebody, it was on my timeline.
Oh, yeah, I saw. I know what you're
talking about. You see this?
During bowling on Fox Sports.
Fox or Fox Sports was airing just their normal sports content. They did their promos they have to do in-house to promote WWE and SmackDown. And I guess a commentator kind of maybe went off and read something that wasn't meant to be like, it was meant to be like an embargo read or something. And basically said, like, Roman Reigns and Seth Rollins, you can see them at SummerSlam or maybe an event soon. And kind of sounded like they said something that they weren't supposed to. So Seth return tonight, I don't know.
That seems like the most obvious place for it to go for SummerSlam, right? I mean,
but who's the face and who's the heel?
You're back in front of fans for that, and like. I mean, Roman's captivating, I think, in this role, but he's the heel. And Seth, I mean, the whole reason they turned Seth heel again is because the fans, back when we had fans and live, were turning on him. They didn't want to cheer him.
Well, the Fiend kind of killed Seth the last time around.
True.
But, Justin Lopez saying, the way Cesaro was beat down at the end makes me think Cesaro and Rollins will be inside the cell. Curious where Roman goes, possibly Jimmy.
Be inside the cell. Cesaro and Rollins?
I don't think it's big enough for the cell.
A non-title match in the cell?
Yeah, I don't.
But who does Roman fight in the cell then? Does Cesaro say, I got Usos coming after me, I got Seth coming after me, I want Hell in a Cell?
But it was clean. Like,
yeah. Well, yes, but Cesaro didn't tap. The ref called it. Right? Yeah. It's not like Cesaro like got pinned 1-2-3 or tapped out. He could say, I passed out, and then I have all these people after me. I want you at Hell in a Cell. None of that distraction, because the ref couldn't. Well, the Fiend and Seth Rollins would say otherwise. But inside of Hell in a Cell, there shouldn't be a ref stoppage. So
yeah,
maybe that's Cesaro's case of a cell match with Roman.
I could see Cesaro demands a rematch with Roman soon on SmackDown. Seth interferes, costs him the match, where it looks like he's going to win. Maybe even a rematch for the title, and that sends up something with them. But yeah, I mean, to F50's point, true or false, no matter how much we all agree, Cesaro will go down as the Dolph booking route, hot 10 seconds in mid-card wasteland. Hope I'm wrong.
I could easily see that.
Yeah, but it feels like a better version of that, because I don't think they ever really made it like, with the exception of his feud against Dean Ambrose, where he was the baby, or no, the Miz, where Dolph was a baby face. They haven't leaned on how talented he was. They didn't give him a showcase for his skills.
Well, he won the world heavyweight title that way.
I'm talking more recently.
Though. Okay. Yeah. I mean, Dolph is someone they put in a world title match like it was like once a year. It's like, oh, time's coming up. We got to put Dolph in this. No one expected him to win. It was just kind of thrown in there.
Dolph's been on his way out for the last 7 years.
Hey, that stand-up comedy career.
Yeah. I mean, he'll admit. I mean, we had an interview with Dolph. Gosh, was it? It was 2 years ago, I guess. But you know, he'll tell you he doesn't watch wrestling. He's not a fan of this product as far as watching it as a third person. But
so it's surprising he doesn't host a wrestling podcast.
One day, but everyone has a podcast now.
It's true. It's getting to be too much. It's just getting to be too much. But this was good though tonight. I mean, the zombie thing though, man, that really overshadows some stuff.
Let's hope nobody gives some social media report to Vince about how many tweets were about that said zombies and WWE backlash. And otherwise, tomorrow we joked about it in a chat. But otherwise, tomorrow there will be zombies chasing.
Zombies are trending, damn it!
The Miz straight up should show up as a zombie tomorrow night. If they're not writing him off TV,
yeah.
you don't get swarmed like that and not bit and turned into a zombie. If he doesn't show up as one tomorrow night, I will be sorely disappointed in this lack of continuity.
The zombies had a hostile takeover of Raw Underground, and they've just been waiting their time to... zombies overtook Retribution. I mean, like, there's endless...
Whatever happened to Teabag and Mace? They were supposed to...
They're still a tag team, I guess.
They were, you know, feuding with Drew for a couple weeks.
They were like MVP's henchmen for like a minute there.
Yeah. And then they just completely dropped him.
I'm sure Cedric and Shelton just love this.
And, all right, a couple more super chats here.
Yeah, what are we doing?
It's Z saying Lashley has his new hurt business, Street Profits, Naomi versus Roman and his Samoan dynasty, Usos, Tamina in the build up to Roman Lashley at Survivor Series, maybe.
That's a long way away.
I guarantee you WWE has no plans for Survivor Series.
That is a long, that is 6 months away. That they produce all the live TV per week.
Travis Huffman saying Matt Hardy should tweet Vanguard 1 is embarrassed for you tonight, WWE. Did they ever have zombies, Matt Hardy? I don't think he did.
Yeah, I don't know. Maybe on the compound. Who knows? But if they did, he made it look cool.
Yeah.
How? Just lean into it.
As far as zombies and wrestling goes,
I'm Matt's defense attorney. If he did, it look good.
Okay. Well, there you have it, folks. That was Backlash.
WrestleMania Backlash.
As it were.
Can they stop with the WrestleMania thing? It's not continuing. It's not WrestleMania Hell in a Cell.
Who knows? Like, if Peacock reports that they had a higher than expected for this, I mean, it might be, as we said earlier, it might be WrestleMania in a Cell.
Right. Just everything, every pay-per-view.
No, change it to the WrestleMania Network.
Payback.
If it's a cheap marketing trick of somebody sees WrestleMania on the title and they feel like it's got higher value for this. I mean, what was the headline? They were offering this for like 50 cents or 99 cents?
Or you could get 7 days free. They had a bunch of promotions out. And, you know, when you would see the graphic, WrestleMania is kind of front and center, and then Backlash is, you know, not so much. So...
It is the ultimate sequel, hidden sequel of Glenn, give me one. I mean, is this Home Alone 3, Home Alone 4? Is this what's a crazy sequel?
I was thinking more Mannequin 2 on the Move.
All right. It's like when you have a completely different cast, but you're using the same movie. Like Dumb and Dumber. Remember they had the Dumb and Dumber 2?
When Harry Met Lloyd.
When Harry Met Lloyd. It was completely different people. And American Pie, they had like six others before they went back to the original cast.
Well, no, they had the originals in 2 and 3, and then they did direct-to-video for like 10 years, and then they came back to for American Reunion.
So. Right, yeah.
But so. Which was done by the Cobra Kai team.
But like Caddyshack, too. You didn't even have Bill Murray's character of Carl there. It was Dan Aykroyd.
But you had that banger Kenny Loggins song.
Wasn't that in the first one?
He had I'm All Right in the first one. He had, I'm blanking on the name, Nobody's Fool in part two.
Kenny Loggins. He was great.
Still is great. Performs, still tours.
Does he really?
Yeah.
Weekend at Bernie's too?
But that had the original cast and Bernie with it like, he like was, he was a zombie. He was moving.
He danced when he heard the music. Oh, zombie. I'll tie it all together.
There you go.
Go out on that note.
There you go. Weekend Bernie's too, which I saw in theaters, strangely.
Wow. That's committed. I saw No Holds Barred in a theater twice. For like
the week it was there.
What's that?
The 1 week it was in theaters?
5 days.
It opened at number 2 that week at the box office. Indiana Jones. So it was.
Did you guys have in the late 80s, early 90s, there was like the legacy movie theater, and then when the new movie theaters started getting built, there was the theater where only like certain movies would open at?
Like the Dollar Theater?
Kind of, but it was like they would get new release movies the big theater didn't want to take. And I remember No Holds Barred opening like at that theater. Rodney Dangerfield's Ladybugs opened at that theater.
Ladybugs.
Yeah. It was like, it was everything.
The boy up as a girl.
Jack Scallon's The Shawn documentary is on A&E.
Oh, there you go. Yeah. I'm that Savage one, man. That was very different in tone.
Hey, if you're doing a full retrospective of each of these personalities and looking at the negatives and the positives. That's one thing. But they weren't. They didn't do that with the other documentaries. I don't know about Sean. I'm guessing they didn't. Shawn Michaels was probably the most hated wrestler in the 90s. I mean, I can't think of maybe Warrior, but...
Even in the locker room.
Yeah, in the locker room.
Mm. Most hated main eventer, mind you. Most hated,
right. Yes,
accomplished
yes.
person.
As a most hated top star in the 90s. Yeah, and I'm guessing it's going to be Kitty Gloves with the documentary tonight compared to what they did with Randy Savage. And look, I was watching those A&E documentaries for what they were. With Steve Austin, Roddy Piper, it was more like a tribute. Not a hard-hitting documentary. And then they went the negative route with Savage. Savage.
Yeah, and that's the thing. I'm not saying there's anything wrong with a hard-hitting documentary. Exactly. And certainly I think that you should show these performers for who they are, warts and all. But it's interesting how they selectively overlook that with other talent, except for the Savage documentary. That's exactly. What makes it so stand out so much.
Mm-hmm.
F50 saying, can we start a drinking game where we see how long it takes Glenn to mention Cobra Kai? It'd be in rehab before Money in the Bank. You know, they just finished shooting season 4.
They did.
Yeah.
Pumped.
So there we go. He's at Justin Labar. He's at Rajgiri underscore 303. I'm at Glenn Rubenstein. Tomorrow night, who's doing the Monday Night Raw show?
It's me, Justin, and Jack Farmer, who liked the zombies. So I don't know, man.
There you go.
I don't know.
And Tuesday night, me.
He likes too much stuff.
Yes, me, Alfred Kanawa, and NYC Demon Diva here to talk NXT on Tuesday. So have a good night, everybody. Take care, and we'll see you back here soon. Good night.